Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On Christmas 2016, I received a wonderful gift. I was given 3 golf lessons at a local golf course for the upcoming season. Somehow, the summer of 2017 flew by and the whole season went by without my redeeming them, but the golf course was gracious, and when I returned this summer and presented my gift certificate, they honored it. So I took my first golf lesson a couple of weeks ago. It was exciting. The first question was, "What would you like to work on?" I said, "My short game." See how I get the lingo now? I'm newer at this sport of golf, but I do enjoy it. However, I am reminded of the great golfer Arnold Palmer and his saying, "Golf is deceptively simple and endlessly complicated." How true. I'm discovering that just with one lesson, but here we go. It's a great opportunity to learn. In fact, I've heard that probably the best thing you can remember when being a beginner golfer is to let the club do the work. Apparently, that was the first observation of my teacher. I was trying to help the club a little bit too much. In fact, many sports have these sorts of reminders when it comes to the equipment. I'm told that rock climbers are also reminded to let the equipment do the work. Trust your equipment. I think I'll stick to a golf club and a little ball before I put all my weight on a carabiner or a rope. Indeed, golfing is a new experience for me, filled with successes and failures. Again, Arnold Palmer gives good advice. When you are golfing, hit it hard, go find it, and hit it hard again. I can do that. Our gospel for this day seems to be 2 unrelated stories, and yet they are unified. You remember it begins with Jesus returning to his hometown. One might expect there'd be a hero's welcome. It was Jesus, after all, the one who had been healing and teaching and preaching and casting out demons, doing all sorts of wonderful, powerful acts. Surely the word had spread to his hometown. But Jesus was surprised at his reception. In fact, it seemed that people were quite skeptical as to who he really was. Wasn't this just the carpenter's son? We even hear about his brothers and sisters, maybe even comparing him to brothers and sisters. But the biggest thing that Jesus discovers is their unbelief. He's really astonished by it. Remember in these last few weeks, as Pastor Wall lifted up last week in his sermon, how important it is to believe, to trust. How it is in believing in the faith we are given that we are given perseverance in times that are uncertain. We are given peace that passes understanding. We are given hope and promise for a new day. How hard it must have been for Jesus to discover in his own hometown this lack of belief. But perhaps Jesus, like a good golfer, just gets up, hits that ball, and finds it and hits it again. Stays at it. He returns to his disciples and comes up with a new strategy. Perhaps what might be the best way to be about this powerful work that he alone at this point has shared is to commission and send and empower these disciples to be ones now to bring healing, to cast out demons, to preach repentance. And so, the second part of the story we remember is Jesus sending out the 12. He sends them out 2 by 2 so they are not alone, and he sends them with a few provisions, not a lot, at least enough for their journey, sandals and a staff for the long walk that they will have ahead of them. But no extra clothes, no place for money, no money belt or purse to collect alms along the way. No, they must trust in the provisions that God will give to them. As they are commissioned and sent, Jesus also gives them a word about perhaps being rejected. Interesting that this comes on the heels of his own experience of being rejected in his hometown. He says, "If you go somewhere and they do not accept your word, just shake the dust off your feet and move on." Rejection, acceptance, all part of what it means to be sent out with this good news. The late 20th century theologian Arthur Pink, who was heavily influenced by the writings of John Calvin, said this: "The gospel is not good advice, but good news. It does not speak of what man is to do, but tells what Christ has done." Arnold Palmer gives advice: Jesus transforms lives. That is the message that the kingdom of heaven has come near, that the disciples are sent out with, and that we too, as followers of Christ, are sent to tell the world, whether we are accepted or rejected, in real time, in this time, and in a promise of a future to come. Jesus must have realized that it wasn't just the power of his words, but the power accompanied with actions that especially made a difference in helping others to receive this good news. It's a good reminder to us that our words and actions accompany one another in being preachers of the gospel. Just a few years ago, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, our church body, put forth a new slogan or saying of what it means to be church. It is simply this: God's work, our hands. I kind of like it. It's succinct enough to be a reminder of what it means to be called and sent out in mission to the world. It is God's work, not ours. It is our hands that accompany it, but it is God's work. It was a couple of years ago, I guess, that the ELCA encouraged congregations throughout the United States to use the Sunday after Labor Day weekend as God's Work, Our Hands Sunday. It was an opportunity to put into action what it means to be church in a very intentional way in local communities. Well, we have our own traditions at Bethel around this on Rally Sunday, and so we didn't adopt that as God's Work, Our Hands Sundays, at least not yet. But I would have to say we've come awfully close in the month of August for the last 6 years. We don't call it God's Work, Our Hands Mission Trip. We call it the Rochester Mission Trip. And we put into action that commissioning, that being sent out to not only preach, but to model with our actions what it means to serve the neighbor. This summer, in just a few weeks, we will have another Rochester mission trip where we will serve at Channel One, Operation Hometown Gratitude, Bundles of Love, Habitat for Humanity's Restore. We will work alongside of the Ronald McDonald House, Gift of Life Transplant House, and the Dorothy Day House, among many other places in our community serving so many. What a great opportunity it has been. Anyone who's participated in the mission trip knows that when you arrive for your day or your shift of work, you are given some instructions before you are sent out. Most of the time, things go pretty close to what is planned, and sometimes things are a little different than expected. Many of you could tell stories. My first summer of the Rochester mission trip, I was in a small group of 15 who went to Channel One. We thought we would be filling food boxes to be sent out. Turns out we showed up when they had just received a shipment of frozen chicken parts, and it was our job to take those frozen chicken parts and put them in smaller packages. It was disgusting. We were suited up and ready to go, and it was quite the hour and a half. I was glad people came back to serve again after that experience. Last summer, my son and I were assigned to a project with Family Service Rochester. As you know, another great organization in town where we had opportunity to serve the neighbor. This time, we were sent to a house where we were to pull some weeds. My son at that time was 12 and, let's say, not really excited about pulling weeds, but I gave him a good pep talk. I said, "Oh, it's probably a small yard, maybe a small garden, probably an hour tops." We showed up and the weeds were taller than both of us. And by the end of 2 hours and a rainstorm, we filled 2 truckloads worth of weeds. It was hard work, but it was satisfying work just the same to know we were helping a neighbor. Another group had been sent out to provide a meal to a family and were asked if they might help with a little cleaning project that included cleaning their stove and a refrigerator that likely hadn't been touched for a couple of years. some unexpected surprises, some good stories that have happened, and help us to persevere or to have opportunities to serve, maybe even outside of our comfort zone. But as many of those surprises as there are along the way, many blessings. People who've come back from Ronald McDonald House or Gift of Life Transplant House, and they have been blessed by the conversations that they have shared, the compassion that they have been able to show a family in need. It is true that Jesus sends out his disciples on a local mission trip. In fact, it may not have been out to pull apart frozen chicken pieces or clean a refrigerator or a stove or pull weeds. But the work they were to do was cleansing, removing demons, casting them out, giving people wholeness and newness of life, offering them word of hope, of grace, giving them opportunity for repentance and forgiveness. All of this important work, all with a word, the word of God's grace. Martin Luther has said, "We are redeemed from sin, death, and the devil, and made partakers of eternal life, not by ourselves and certainly not by our works, which are less than ourselves, but by the help of another, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ." If Christ frees us from all of these powers at work in the world, surely we have power in his name to bring compassion, to bring the basic necessities of life to others, to share our abundance in all that we experience and all the opportunities we have to serve in our own community, in our workplace, among our families. This message that we give is a message for all people, not restricted to a certain age group or a certain ethnic group or even a certain economic provision. We are given this word to all. Jesus sends his disciples out into a place where they may not know what is next. It's interesting to note that Jewish travelers often would stay with other Jewish homekeepers so that they would have a place that was not only filled with hospitality, but also a place where they would not be unclean. But Jesus gives no such word to these disciples of his. They must go and take the hospitality they receive wherever it is given. There are no barriers, no boundaries. It is a message for all. The great evangelist Billy Graham has said, "We are the Bibles the world is reading. We are the creeds the world is needing. We are the sermons the world is heeding." When we choose to participate as ones commissioned and sent with good news, at times we may very well be the ones who are the preachers. At times we may very well be the ones who exhibit Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to others. And at times we may be God's own word proclaimed in our words and actions. What a gift this is. I'm likely not the first preacher to use golf analogies when it comes to preaching sermons. And it is true, at times faith should be so simple and it seems yet so complicated. But it is something that we continue to be partners in sharing. We go out two by two as a congregation. We go out as a community to share this good news. We cannot lose heart. Again, the great golfer Arnold Palmer has said this, "I have a tip that can take 5 strokes off anyone's golf game. It's called an eraser." What a privilege it is to be ones who not share advice, but we share a transformative word. That in Christ there is an erasing of sin and death and all the powers of this world. In Christ there is healing and wholeness. There is a place for our weary hearts to find peace. In Christ, we have a promise, and we are trusted, and we trust and believe that we are beloved children of God. This promise comes in Jesus, only Jesus. Amen. Please rise and